Today, I'd like to teach a subject I'm calling Jonathan's Soul Love. Once again, I'd like to spend some time on the soul. I want you to understand the importance of the soul, and I'd like to speak directly to that. And if you turn to Romans chapter 13, I'll show you a very significant verse that sets the foundation for what we're going to look at. I mentioned some time ago that the greatest or the highest paid people are the ones that more or less entertain the soul. And if you've ever wondered why movie stars, actors are paid so much, it's because they actually go in and touch people's souls. And I compared the difference between a store clerk and a movie star, and the pay difference. Well, when you go to the cashier, you don't get too thrilled, do you? But when you go to the movie and you pay money, you expect to get thrilled. That's what you want. The reason behind that is because of how the entertainment addresses the soul, how you feel. And I have to admit that over time, I think I've been misguided in regard to the soul and feelings and how I ought to manage feelings and teach about feelings, talk about feelings. Because I was always taught that you don't ever let feelings control you. I'm not saying that you do. I'm just saying that's what I was taught, which means that, well, if you're not going to be a feelings person, then you've got to be an intellectual person. And that's where a breakdown happens, in my understanding, because if you're just an intellect, you're not going to reach too many people. Can you imagine going to a movie of just intellectuals and all they're doing is talking? It's like a documentary. If my wife ever knows the documentaries on the TV, she's out of that room before you can blink. You don't entertain people with intellect. You entertain people by reaching out to their souls. So if you're going to be really effective with other people, you've got to learn how to master your soul. You've got to learn how to use your soul. You've got to learn how to guide your soul. And you do that with your will. God has given every one of us a will. And we determine what our will is, but we have that power. And He's not going to change your will. You change your will. Now, God's Word is His will. And we're supposed to make God's Word our will. Okay? So you have your thoughts, your mind, that manages all your thinking according to your will. So you establish your will, you make your thoughts follow that, and you make your soul follow that. Now this is very important because I've already taught you that you're a three-part being. What are the three parts? Body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is just as significant as is your body. And your body is just as significant as is your spirit, Christ in you. Now, each one of them play a different role, and each one of them have different importance at any given time, but they're all highly significant. And so you have to give each one its due attention. And if you don't, you will suffer. If you don't give your soul the right amount of attention, your soul suffers. And so, if we're going to be really smart about this, we need to learn how to express our soul in the right way. How many of you express your souls properly? Well, I don't even know what properly means. Well, how many of you express yourself? Well, everybody expresses themselves, right? We want to learn to express ourselves according to God's will. But we want to express ourselves. And here's where the interesting problems develop in people. the less a person knows how to manage his or her soul and express that soul, the less power and influence that person will have in life. Because it always comes down to that. It always comes down to how do you express your soul? Are you stoic, meaning emotionless? And do you not share love? Do you not share feelings? Do you not share all of that stuff that's on the inside that you feel? Are you always trying to close it down, not show it, maybe show it here but not there? The person who learns how to manage his or her soul is the one that really gets the edge on life. That's what it comes down to. Take a job interview. You go into a job interview and they're looking at you. Yeah, they want to know if you know how to do the job, but they want to know a little bit about your soul too. What kind of person are you? Are you creepy? Are you friendly? Are you mean? Are you nice? They want to know. And so, of course, everybody puts their best foot forward in the interview, don't they? I want to show them that I'm a nice, kind person. But what if they're really not? So they faked them out, and then maybe they get the job, and then their true colors come out, and everybody's got to live with the misery. Interesting. If you're going to be truly successful in life, you've got to learn how to manage your soul. I've taught my family, and I've taught you guys this, the secret of effective communication is to learn to be assertive. And I said, don't be aggressive, don't be passive, be assertive. And I told you how to do it. I said, you use this three-step procedure where you say, I feel, it seems, I'd like. And the very first thing you do is express your soul. I feel angry. You're talking about whatever feeling you have about that subject, about that situation. I feel mad. It's always a feeling. I feel frustrated. And you're only talking about your soul. You're taking one of those three vital parts of you and giving it due attention. And you're saying, I feel, and you're telling the person how you feel. You're learning how to express your soul. Well, if you know how to express your soul, then you are more powerful in that situation. And so you become an effective communicator, and you feel good, which is what God wants us to do. But you know, you'll never get to that place if you don't love yourself. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That is your debt to mankind, to love other people. You have no greater debt. I don't care if you owe somebody $1 million. You have a greater debt, which is to love other people. There is no greater debt. Now, I'm talking to your soul. I'm talking to your will here. You should set it within your will that you will love other people. Well, it's a whole lot more than just words. I mean, show that you love them. Act like you love them. Talk like you love them. Feel like you love them. Now, here's where we go back to where I was taught. I was taught that you don't live by your feelings. Well, the only other choice is to be an intellect. And intellectuals don't get that far. I mean, maybe you'll be impressed a little bit with my knowledge, but after a while, you'll get bored, right? Well, sure you will. But if I'm loving you, if I say I love you, if I act like I love you, if I have words that indicate I love you, well, you're going to feel good about being around me, and you're going to want to be around me longer, right? Well, there you go. Owe no man anything but to love one another. That's the greatest debt you have to mankind. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. You want to talk about taking care of business. All of the Old Testament is fulfilled just because you change your will and you love other people. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Could you get it any plainer? How are you going to love others, though, if you don't love yourself? Did you notice that little dangling thing there? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? If you can't love yourself, you're not going to do a good job of loving other people. Now, how many times have you heard that? Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah, everybody's heard that. How much do you love yourself? Do you love your soul? When you look at yourself, when you wake up in the morning and you go, well, hello, soul. How are you this fine day? And then the next thing out of your mouth is, man, I do not want to live today. I feel. And then you get negative and you stay that way the whole day. Well, how loving are you going to be that day? You see, people like to give other people the responsibility for their happiness. I'd like to say that you're responsible for your own. But you'll never get there unless you love yourself. You have to love yourself. But what does that mean? To me, it means you've got to accept that your soul is a significant third of you. And that you have the responsibility to manage your emotions, your feelings, so that they're taken care of. Because they're not going to be quiet. Your soul is alive. It's full of feelings. But if you're always trying to counteract those feelings, you're going to be miserable. God wants us to love. Bottom line. But you can't do that unless you love yourself. So you have to love yourself. You got to look at yourself and say, okay, I'll stop fighting me. I have a question for you. Do you afflict yourself? How do you treat your soul? When it says, I want to love somebody, do you say, shut up? What do? Do you shut down? When it says, I want to be kind, you go, get real. That's the last thing I'm going to do today. You know what that person did to me? How do you treat your soul? Now that soul's one third of you. And if you're afflicting your soul, in other words, treating it badly, well, there's one third of you that's miserable. Now, fortunately, you can't mess with that gift of Holy Spirit. So it's always right. Imagine if you weren't born again. And now your soul is half of you. You don't have the gift of Holy Spirit. So all you have is your soul and your body. Man, you're really miserable if you afflict yourself. If you don't love people. If you don't learn to express your soul. Very significant. So you see this guy. And he's just loving and kind. And outgoing and vivacious and friendly and wonderful to people. And interestingly enough, you're drawn to him. Well, I want that guy to be my friend. I like people like that, right? You see a guy on the big silver screen that's like that. You go, oh, I want to be friends with that person. But why don't you let yourself be like that? Isn't that interesting? So we go to the movies to get entertained because we're not willing or don't want to do whatever it is that we're seeing. Now, there's some that is why you go to movies, by the way. Sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not even important. Sometimes it's very important. Like if you go to see a movie where they're doing really radical, bad, scary, dangerous things, you go watch it so you don't have to do it, then you're satisfied. Okay, I learned that in Humanities 101 in college. I'll never forget that. Well, that's why I go to movies. Okay. But what if you go to just a love movie, a romance? Plenty of those out there, right? And you're looking at it and you go, oh, wow, I wish I was more like that. Well, my question is, are you watching a movie because you refuse to be like that? Or are you watching a movie to get inspired so that you could become more that way? The real question is, why don't you just become that way? And treat that one third of you, thank God it's not one half, that one third of you the right way. Let it express itself according to God's will. Isn't that significant? Can you imagine just by changing your thoughts and your actions, you become like those you admire? You become a different person because your soul gets to express itself. Have you ever done the I feel it seems I'd like? You feel pretty good about it, don't you? For about 5 minutes. But why don't you just be that way all the time? Instead of in a crisis situation where you've got to confront somebody because they did something bad to you and you get all the courage up to say, you know, I feel frustrated. It seems like you don't like me anymore and I'd like you to stop. Instead of being like that, why not tell everybody how you feel? I feel great. I love people because I've got Christ in me. Why not act loving? Why not act kind all the time, not just in a crisis? Well, it's pretty significant. In Galatians chapter 14, or is it chapter 14, right? Chapter 5. We're not going to get to Jonathan today, but we will in the next part of this teaching. But Jonathan Jose, stop it. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. In other words, a phrase. In this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How are you going to love your neighbors if you don't love yourself? How many of you afflict your souls? How many of you have afflicted your souls even this day? You've been up, what, 3, 4, 5 hours maybe? 4 hours? Well, 1 hour? No, just kidding. How many of you have already afflicted your soul where it doesn't feel good? It feels afflicted. There's just a bad feeling in it. It doesn't feel good. You know, I learned if you have bad feelings inside, okay, your soul's afflicted. Something's wrong. Now stop for a moment and address one third of your life. Stop for a moment and say, well, now, why am I afflicted? Just call it being afflicted when you feel badly, okay? For sake of an easy term to use. Why am I afflicted? And then you think back to the moment, that same day, where you were not afflicted, when you felt good. And then you identify the trigger, the thing that caused you to start feeling badly. Now you have to get methodical about this. It becomes more or less mechanical. You go back, well, I did this, and then somebody said this, and I was on the phone there, and boom, that person did it. When that person said that, then all of a sudden I started feeling badly. And then you go to that thing and you have identified it, and then you say, no, wait a minute, that's not going to change my life. I'm not going to feel badly because of that person. And then you change. Once you learn to recognize what caused it, you can learn to stop the chain reaction of bad feelings. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And then you go one step before that and say, well, I felt great, so now I'm going to feel great again. If there's something you have to do to fix the problem, in other words, go talk to that person right then and there to stop that progression, then do it. Take care of one third of you and then forget it. Okay? Learn to do that. But if you don't learn to love yourself, you're not going to love it. If you feel badly, are you going to want to go be nice to people? Not at all. Now, I was taught that you don't let your feelings be your guide, so I learned how to suppress my feelings, to hide my feelings. So if I felt badly about something, I'd pretend that I felt good. Well, now, isn't that just about as dumb as the day is long? Because I'm ignoring one third of my life, and then I'm afflicted, and I stay afflicted. You have to answer the question yourself. How long do you want to stay afflicted today? When you become afflicted, you have to answer the question, how long do I want to stay afflicted? Is it worth it to me? Or do I want to be happy? Or do I want to learn to express myself and let my soul live so that I can love? I want you to love. I want your soul to love. Your soul wants to love. Your soul wants to come out of itself so that it can express itself. That's the way God made it. It's called instinct. You know, what separates you from others? Instinct. Why don't you have the instincts of a dog? Because God didn't give them to you. He gave you instincts of a person. I'm convinced of something, and I've really tried to find it in Genesis, and the closest I can get to it is how God made woman. But I really believe that women have different instincts than men. I really do. I think that their souls work differently. Oh, I think they have the same kind of soul. I'm not going to deny that. But when God made the woman, He made the woman. He breathed the life in her, but He had already made her to work a certain way when she came to life. Well, that's what He did to man when He gave man that life and man came alive. Women have different ways of being than men. Men have to be tough. They've got to be providers. They've got to be fearless. They've got to be leaders. Women need to be loving and kind and nurturing and caring, among many other things. Proverbs 31. It's all built in. So you women, you've got all kinds of things built into you, in your soul. And you men, you've got all kinds of things built into your soul. And there the twain shall meet for the most part. So men, don't try to be a woman. And women, don't try to be a man. It don't work. Okay? But be yourself. That's what I ask you to do. I want you to let your soul come to life. I want you to establish your will. My will from this day forth is to love my neighbor, is to love other people. And therefore, I must love myself. Now that is using God's word and will to become yours. And from that point on, you make your thoughts line up with that will. And when and where you have trouble not manifesting love, you say, self, it's time to love. And you love. What if you don't want to? What if there's something silly going on in your head because it's processing so many thousands of things that you get a little confused at the moment and you aren't as loving as you should be? You say, stop! because your will must be your guide. And then you say love, because God's word is my will. Now, why can't we do that all the time? Ephesians chapter 5. That's why I'm speaking to your soul. I'm speaking to your will. I'm speaking to your instincts. Your instincts are to love. And if you think you were loving today, then say, I'm going to be a lot better tomorrow at this. If you think you're really great tomorrow, then you say, I'm going to get even better the next day. We have great examples in the Word of people that just loved. They were people that were fearless. They were powerful. They were wonderful. They were exciting. And they drew others of that same nature to them. And then you had more of them. And then they conquered the world. They did the most amazing things for masses and masses of people. The reason, like when you see our leaders, like for instance our political leaders today, the reason that they don't make any changes and help any people really is because, number one, they don't love themselves, and they really don't love other people. You can't fake it. You pick somebody in politics today that's a foremost character in your mind, and you answer the question, do they really love me? Do they really love people? And if the answer is no, then you can almost immediately say, well, then they've not done any good for people. They're not doing any good for anybody. Well, the reason I use politicians is because they're always out front. We hear so much about them on the news. Well, you can pick actors too. You know, you fall in love with people on the screen and you think that they would love you. That's why you're drawn to them. That's the only reason you're drawn to them. But you have to answer the question, would they really love me? I always tell my kids, I go, you should go read about that actor or that actress. You know, before you get too in love with them, find out if they're creepy or not. Because there's plenty of them that are. I told Catherine, my daughter, one time, you know, she loved this group. And I says, she goes, have you ever gone and seen them? I says, I'll never go see them. Because I like their music so much, as soon as I see them, I'll never want to hear them again. It's true. And so we get drawn to people because of one reason. They touch our souls. The people on the silver screen, they touch our souls. The musicians, they touch our souls. Do you touch anybody's soul? What do to touch people's soul? I want you to live love. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. There's two aspects of love there, the physical and the soul. It's the same subject. You just can't undo it. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. There is no way that's going to happen if the husband and wife don't love themselves first. You have to do that. You just have to do that. And you have to say, I'm going to do that. And you, oh, Jerry, you don't know what you're asking. I'm so afflicted! I feel terrible half the time! No, a third of the time. Okay, just kidding. Even the dog's getting in on this one. And I'd like to say to you that you can't do it. You have to decide, though. And it's not easy. It's hard. When you know, when Mr. Grumpy wants to come out, I got to deal with that one in my own life. Mr. Grumpy wants to come out, and I don't want to be loving. I'll fake it a little bit just to get the old steam motor going, you know. And then finally, I'm better. Okay. I know none of you guys get grumpy, but man, sometimes I get grumpy. Why do I want to get grumpy, you know? Just because my wife squeezes the toothpaste from the wrong end of the tube? No, just kidding. She doesn't even use toothpaste. Oh, sorry. We all have things to work on, but I want to move you light years ahead. I don't want to give you any little self-help courses that you take home and study, and then maybe next week you'll be a little better. I want you to release your soul because you owe it to yourself to love yourself. You just owe it to yourself. So quit being so bundled up, so tied down, so constricted. I want you to be free. I want you to feel good. I want you to have fun. I want you to live your life, but live your life in love. James chapter 2. Your soul's going, yeah, Jerry, bring it on. Yeah, this is the stuff I'm talking about. I want to love. Your soul's going, oh, man, how could I do this? Can I even get better today? I hope so. Come on, Jerry, let me love a little bit more today. And it's inside going, oh, yeah, more, more, more. Whose soul's not doing that? It's instinct. God put it in you. God said, you love. That's what he said. He said, you love yourself so you can love other people. He would never have said that if you didn't have the ability to do it. And I want to tell you something. This isn't new. You go into the Old Testament when we got the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. We're going back thousands now. Just because you see it here, I'll show it to you in James chapter 2. Just because you see it here doesn't mean it's new. God made man this way. He made Adam this way. The animals loved Adam. Well, Adam loved the animals. He was loving. Eve, she loved Adam. Adam, he loved Eve. They didn't have to be taught this. They were just loving. Until, of course, something came along and changed all of that. And now we're dealing with it. But I'd like you to focus on your soul. For God's sake, do it. Take a look at your soul. When you wake up in the morning and go, good morning. How you doing, soul? Hey, I'm excited. Until you start thinking, and then the stinking thinking takes away all your good feeling. Now you wonder why that is. The reason you feel badly when you do bad things is because you afflict your soul. It's not because you get possessed or any other crazy thing. You know, devil spirits possess the mind. They don't possess the soul. And if you keep a clean house mentally, you can make your soul feel the way it's supposed to. Now, that's a lot of food for thought. And to close with, James chapter 2, verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law, O my royal subjects, according to the scripture, O ye who believe in God, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. My friends, go and do well. Thank you.